wat schoes. In the course of what we speak about will also include something from the Sefer. There is an argument in the Gemara in Shabbos what exactly the date of Matan Torah was. Everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. And the question was, what was the date? When was Rosh Chodesh Sivan proclaimed? Was it on Sunday or Monday? If Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, then that Shabbos, that next Shabbos, was Zayin Sivan. If Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, then the next Shabbos was Vav Sivan. And for various reasons, the halacha seems to be, because it has connection to other things aside when the Torah was given, has connection to other halachic things, it seems like the halacha goes like Rabbi Yossi, who so holds that the date of Matan Torah was Zayin Sivan. If that's the case, Shavuos always falls out on Vav Sivan. So the question is not why do we celebrate Shavuos? We celebrate Shavuos, as the Torah said, to keep Shavuos. But why do we relate it to the giving of the Torah? It was the day before the Torah was given. The Torah wasn't given until Zayin Sivan, and Shavuos is always on Vav Sivan. So why do we say Zman Matan Torah Seinu on Vav Sivan? This question the Magen Avraham brings down in the name of the Asorah Ma'amoros. There are many, many answers that are given. I'm going to give you one that I think is reasonable. In addition, I'll give another question. The Rabbanan always refer to Shavuos as Atzeres. That is the name for, just like Chag is the rabbinic name for Sukkot, right? The name for what's it called? For Shavuos is Atzeres. But the Torah never calls Shavuos Atzeres. The only days that are called Atzeres is Shmini Atzeres, and the seventh day of Pesach is also called Atzeres. So the Sfarno explains why that's the case. He says, really, the word Atzeres means a convocation. People get together and they congregate to praise the Rabbanu Shem for some open miracle or some very public thing that occurred. The ultimate Atzeres in history was Matan Torah, because that's when all of Klal Yisrael gathered together to get the Torah. So that's the ultimate Atzeres. That's why the Chachamim call it Atzeres. But the Torah doesn't call it Atzeres, because that Atzeres was nullified, was abrogated. Because the result of that Atzeres never came to fruition, because the Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu got on that day of Atzeres, of Vav Sivan, he never was able to deliver to the Jewish people, because they were broken on Shivasar Batamos. So on Shivasar Batamos, the giving of the Torah that began on Vav Sivan was bottled. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to go up again, get another Luchos, and therefore the actual Matan Torah was on Yom Kippur. That's when the second Luchos were given. So for all practical purposes, the first Matan Torah was bottled. And therefore, the Torah doesn't call it Atzeres, because for all practical purposes, that Atzeres was abrogated. If that's the case, then why do we celebrate Shavuos? Why don't we just celebrate Yom Kippur as the day of the giving of the Torah, since ultimately what was given on the sixth day of Sivan, or the seventh day of Sivan, was the sixth day of Sivan, was not ever brought to fruition. They were broken. In order to answer all of this, start with an Ibn Ezra in Parshas Veschana. You're familiar with the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ki yisholcha bincha machor leimor moa ha'edos v'achukin v'amishpotim asher kiva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. Your child will ask you in the future, what are all these commandments that God gave us? So you should tell him, Avodim hayinu lefaro v'mitzrayim, we were slaves to Paro, and so on. This is the She'ela of the Chacham, the wise son's question in the Haggadah. So Ibn Ezra explains the following. What exactly is the kid asking? If he's asking, hey, what's all these laws? What kind of Chacham is he? Right? If he doesn't know what the laws are, he can't be a wise son. There must be something more to his question than just, what are all the laws? Says Ibn Ezra, His question is the following. I don't understand, says this son, why God chose us from all the nations of the world to lay this heavy yoke on our shoulders and everybody gets away easily with seven mitzvahs. Why do we have to have 613 mitzvahs when they get away with seven? What did we do wrong that God gave this tremendous yoke that no other nation has to carry? That's his question. Good question. What's the answer? The answer is, let's take a look at God's track record. We were slaves in Egypt. God took us out of slavery. Did he do it for our good or for his good? Obviously, for our good. He brought us and gave us Eretz Yisrael. For our good or for his good? Obviously, for our good. He took us through the desert for 40 years and supported us. For our good or for his good? Obviously, for our good. So if God gave us a Torah, it's not for his good. It's not that he wants to put a yoke on our shoulders and it's something that he wants from us. It's an opportunity. Just like all those other things, therefore, Vayitein is called Hachukim Elu L'Tov L'Anu. God gave us all of these mitzvahs for our good. L'chayoseinu Kayom Hazeh, to give us eternal life. He knew that we have the ability to get a share in the world to come, to have that closeness to him that no other nation has. But in order to get it, you need to do mitzvahs. You need to learn Torah. That is what creates that Olam Haba. And therefore, he gave us all of these mitzvahs, l'tov lanu, for our good, l'chayoseinu kayom hazeh, to give us eternal life. You know, there's a pasuk in this week's Sedra, in b'chukosai teilechu, sheyiyu ameilim batorah, that Torah demands ameilus, toil, effort. It can't come easily. Something you have to put a lot of effort. And if you don't put effort in Torah, then the Torah says you're going to get all these terrible curses and you're going to go into Golus. You're going to be exiled. From what? From in lo sishmu li shelo yu amelim batorah. If you're not going to put effort and toil into Torah, then you're going to lose it. And you're going to lose everything that I gave you. So it would seem that the condition that brings Golus, that brings exile, is e amelus batorah. Not putting effort and a lot of sweat, blood, and tears into Torah. In Parshas Kisavo, where the Torah again says the Tochacha, there the Torah says some other reason for Golus. It says, you know why Yidden went into Golus? Tachas Hashelo Avadato Has Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Leiva. Because you didn't serve God with tremendous happiness and a good heart. That means if you don't serve God with happiness, then you go into Golus. They seem to be contradictory. On the one hand, it seems that if you don't serve God with a lot of toil and effort, then you go into Golus. On the other hand, it says if you don't serve God with happiness, you go into Golus. Which is it? Happiness and toil don't seem to go together. The answer, I think, is the following. Somebody gave you a treasure map that pinpointed millions of dollars of gold that's buried 30 feet under the top of a mountain somewhere in the Andes. And you have to go and spend a tremendous amount of money to get to the Andes, buy a lot of equipment to get up to this mountain. You can't get there except on foot. And you have to climb this mountain for weeks. Finally, you get up there, you get your tools up there. It also has to be hand tools because there's no way of getting any kind of anything else up to this mountain. You're digging away for weeks and weeks. And finally, you find the treasure. The person who gave you that treasure map gave you a liability or he gave you an opportunity. Obviously, an opportunity. Does it involve a tremendous amount of effort and discomfort? Yeah. But is the effort and discomfort worth it? Yeah. So there's no contradiction between effort and discomfort if the purpose of that effort and discomfort is to discover the treasure. And that's the only way you can get it. So when the Rabban Shem gave us the Torah, he said, you're going to have to put a lot of effort in this, but I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not giving you a liability. I want you to work hard. I want you to find the treasure, but there's no other way. There's no other way of uncovering that treasure of Olam Haba unless you put effort into the Torah, unless you fulfill these mitzvahs, unless you learn that Torah, and you learn it with a lot of effort, and you fulfill them with a lot of effort. But it's not that I'm asking you for anything. It's not that I'm giving you a liability. I'm giving you an opportunity. But this is the way to get the opportunity. So unless you put the effort in and you're also happy about it, then that's what Kabbalah comes from. You don't realize that the Torah is a tremendous opportunity. It's a matam. It's a present. That's why Chazal say, Ein Tov Ela Torah. Real, the ultimate quintessence of Tov is Torah. That's what Torah is. Torah is the ultimate good. It's the greatest good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us. And that's what we say. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos is Yisrael. Leficha Hirba Mantoro Mitzis. Shenemar Hashem Chafetz Laman Tzidko Yagdu Torah V'yad. Why did God give us all this tremendous amount of mitzvahs and difficult mitzvahs and mitzvahs that involve a tremendous amount of effort and toil? Because Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos. Lezakos has two meanings. One meaning is to benefit, to merit. The other meaning is to lezacheich, to purify. They both go together. God wanted to ultimately give us a benefit. Torah, mitzvahs are olam haba. That is olam haba. Torah, mitzvahs is not something you get olam haba if you do them. They are olam haba. By doing mitzvahs and learning Torah, you purify your soul. And a purified soul, after you get into the spiritual world, has a connection to God. The more pure, the more connection. The less pure, the less connection. Torah itself is Olam Haba. Torah is what gives you Olam Haba. That is what it is. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to merit us. He wanted to benefit us. And he wanted to purify us so we should be able to have that benefit. And therefore he gave us a tremendous amount of Torah and mitzvahs, both quantitatively and qualitatively. This explains the following pasuk, which I think the Ramban says this openly, what I'm going to tell you. But on the surface it seems difficult. Pasuk says like this, do you have a chumash or do you have a chumash?
Relay race. Torah says like this.
Ki ato Yisrael, mo Adonai Elohecha shoel nimoch, ki im liyiro es Adonai Elohecha, Leches bechol drocha, v'liavo so, v'lavo des Adonai Elohecha bechol avobcha, v'chol nafshecha. Go over the pasuk again. V'ata Yisrael means, and now Yisrael, bottom line, the end of the 40 years in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Jewish people, he says, now, bottom line, what does God want from you? What is he asking from you already? Right? Ki im only. Now you would expect what follows is one or two little measly things. I mean, bottom line, what does God want from you already? Only this little thing. What's the Torah say? Kim liyiras Hashem lokecha. He only wants you to fear him. Laleches bechol drachav, to walk in all his ways. Uliavo so, and to love him. Velavodes Hashem lokecha, and to serve him bechol levavcha bechol nafshecha, with all your heart and all your soul. Lishmor tzmitzvos Hashem v'yetzukosav, to observe all of his commandments. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, which I command you today. That doesn't make any sense. And what does God want from you already? Just a million things. The beginning of the sentence and the end of the sentence don't go together. There's two more words I skipped in the end. L'tov loch, for your good. God doesn't want anything from you. God is not asking you for anything. He's giving you an opportunity. He wants you to have that opportunity. But he's not asking you. All these mitzvahs, you're not doing God any favors. You're not giving him anything. He's giving you an opportunity. Mo Hashem Elokecha shoel nimoch. What is God asking from you? Zero. Why? Because all these things are the tov loch. They're all for your good. So he's asking nothing. He's giving you tremendous opportunity. That's why before the Torah was given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to know this. That when we accept the Torah, we are not accepting a liability. It's not something that God wants from us. But it's something that the Rabban Hashem is giving to us. Tremendous schus, a tremendous chance and opportunity. What does it say when the Torah was given? Amshram tells Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael the following. Chodesh Hashlishi. Tzeis Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Vayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. Torah says, Ko Somar Leveis Yaakov V'Sageid Bnei Yisrael. This is what you should tell the Jewish people. This is the preface to the giving of the Torah. Atem Re'isem Asher Osisi B'Mitzrayim. You saw everything I did in Egypt. I took you as if on the wings of eagles and brought you to me. If you accept this covenant that I'm making with you, you'll be precious to me from all the nations of the world. Because I own everyone. Everyone's precious. You'll be more precious. You will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This is what you should tell Bnei Israel. What's the preface? The same thing as the beginning of the Seder Sadipros. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hoseisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I'm the God who took you out of Egypt. Don't think that I'm trying to lay some kind of liability on you. I'm asking you for something. I want you to give me something. I'm the same God who took you out of Egypt. That was for your good. This is also for your good. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not demanding from you anything. I'm giving you an opportunity, but I want you to take that opportunity. And I'm going to make well sure that you don't miss up that opportunity. But it's all your for your sake. The preface to the giving of the Torah and the preface of the Aseres HaDibros is to make it clear that the Rabbanu Shalom, just like he took us out of Egypt for our sake, he's giving us the Torah for our sake also. Could be for that reason the Torah starts with Gemilas Chasodim and it ends with Gemilas Chasodim. The beginning of the Torah is the fact that God made clothing for Adam and Chava when they sinned. It starts with a chesed that God performed for the first two human beings. And it ends with Gemilas Chesed, God buried Moshe Rabbeinu, another chesed. I was thinking that simply it brings out this idea. Something is judged and is set by its beginning and its end. If the Torah starts with chesed, God doing chesed, and it ends with God doing chesed, then the whole Torah is a chesed. That's what Torah is. Torah is a chesed. It's the greatest kindness that God did by giving us a Torah and enabling us to get all of Havah. But there's more to it. What was the first chesed? People sinned. And they went against the Torah. And that brings a tremendous amount of shame to the person. He's naked. He has nothing. Everything that he should have had, that God wanted to give him, he threw away. And he remains totally exposed with nothing. So what does the Rebbe Shem do? He doesn't discard him. He covers up his shame, puts clothing on him, and he says, I'm giving you another chance. And the entire Torah, from that point on, is to give the person the chance to regain what he had to begin with, by keeping the Torah. Until, if you'll keep everything that's after that point, till the end of the Torah, not only will your body not be a source of shame, but your body will become so holy that only God will be able to bear it. That's the difference. That's what Torah is. It elevates a person from his body being an object of shame to an object of holiness that God, only God can bear. That's what the Torah is all about. I found a medrash that supports something I wanted to say before I found this medrash. And that is the following. Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shamayim. So the angels protested God giving the Torah to human beings. And they said, "Tzna hold chol Shamayim, put your glory on the heavens. Give us the Torah. Why are you giving it to human beings? To measly human beings? Give it to the angels. Much more covered our Torah to give it to us." So God said to Moshe Rabbeinu, answer them. You want the Torah, you're going to have to fight for it. So answer them. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm afraid that they'll open their mouths and they'll consume me with the fire of their mouth. So God said, you hold on to my throne. Nobody's consuming you. Give him an answer. So Moshe said, okay, let's see what it says in the Torah. It says, I'm the God who took you out of Egypt. Any of you guys ever in Egypt? No, it doesn't apply to you. It says that honor your father and mother. Any of you guys got fathers and mothers? No, can't apply to you. Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Anything apply to angels? No. Well, that's the end of that. No Torah for angels. Moshe wins, gets the Torah. Now, didn't the angels know what they were asking for? Didn't they know the Torah doesn't apply to angels? It applies to human beings? What was their havamina that Moshe Rabbeinu had to answer them or whatever? So I just wanted to say, and then I found a medrash that Mamish says this. The angels knew the Torah didn't apply to them. But the angels wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to know that what he's getting is a benefit. It's an opportunity. It's not a liability. And he could tell the Jewish people that. Because if it's a liability, then the angels sort of said, wow, Baruch Hashem, we're not getting that Torah. Right? Thank God God's giving that to human beings, not us. Right? We don't need this tremendous yoke. But they didn't. They went and they said, we want the Torah. And if it would be possible for us to have it, we'd want it. Why? Because it's a benefit. It's an opportunity. We want that opportunity. We know it doesn't apply to us. But we want Moshe Rabbeinu to know that if it would apply to us, we'd want it. We are not breathing a sigh of relief that we didn't get it. We are upset that we didn't get it. And from there you can understand the Torah is a benefit. And the Medrash says that. The Medrash says, v'chitomer, if you'll think, that the Torah is chova hilachem. It's a liability to you, and then okay, it's not like that. Ki amalochim b'kshuoso, the angels desired it. That means it's not a liability. Because if it was a liability, they should have been very happy they didn't. If it's an opportunity, then it's something to fight about. Thinking also that this was the mistake of the Goyim. It says that God offered the Torah to the Goyim and they said, what's in it? So God said, well, it says you're not allowed to murder to Esau. They said, well, there's a big problem with that. You see, because we have a bracha that we live on the sword. So our whole livelihood depends on murder. So God said, okay. Leaves them alone, goes to Esau, to Eshishmuel. They ask also, what's in it? God says, well, it says you're not allowed to steal. They said, well, we can't accept the Torah. It says you can't steal. Well, how can we accept such a Torah? It says by our forefather, Yishmael, Yodah Bakol V'Yad Kol Bo. His hands in everybody's pocket and their hands are in his pocket. We live by stealing. So Ribono Shel Olam left them. Finally came to Klal Yisrael and we said, Nasa V'Nishma, give it. We don't want to know what's in it. Give it sight unseen. So he's bothered me. Why did the Ribono Shel Olam leave the Goyim? Prematurely. They didn't say no. They said, we have a problem. How can we accept the Torah that says you're not allowed to murder when we have a bracha to live by the sword? How can we accept the Torah that says you can't steal when we have a bracha that our hands are in everybody's pocket? So what God should have said is to explain to them why that's not a problem. He should have told Esav, your living by the sword doesn't mean you have a license to murder. It means that you're going to be mercenaries in the time of war and be hired by people to fight their wars. The Gemara says, any war that doesn't have Mibnei Esav, you can't win. You have to have people from Esav, otherwise the war is lost. They have to be on your side. They have a special bracha to be successful in war. So why didn't God say to them, that's what it means. Now there's no contradiction between that and Lo Tirtzach, that you're not allowed to murder. Do you want the Torah or not? Yishmael, Yodah Bakol, the Yad Kol Bo doesn't mean they have a right to be pickpockets. What it means is, your hand will be in everybody's pocket, you will be dependent on the entire world. The Arab world is dependent on everybody for almost everything, except one thing, oil. And Yodah Bakol, Yad Kol Bo, everybody will be dependent on you. That in time, you will be dependent on the entire world for most of history. And then everybody's dependent on you. That's what it means. Oh, if that's the case, so no more problem between stealing and Yodah Bakol V'Yad Kol Bo. Do you want the Torah or not? Why did God summarily leave them prematurely and they never said no? They just said, we have a problem. Fine, so solve the problem for them. Explain to them why it's not a problem. Now ask them, do you want it or not? There are many answers to that question. But I think one of the answers is the following, based on what we're saying. If I would have come here today and said, guys, I need a favor. Could you do me a favor? what would have to be your response? Even if you really wanted to help me out, you couldn't possibly say, yes, I'd like to help you out. Why not? Because you don't know what I need. Maybe I need something you can't do. I mean, I'd like, you know, a $5 million loan over the next 150 years. Okay? Could anybody do that? So if there is, somebody see it this year. But in any case. You couldn't do that. So even with all the good intentions, you couldn't say, yes, we'd love to help you out. You have to first ask me, what do you want? So if I would be asking you for a favor, right, I want you to do something for me, the response would have to be, what do you want? And then, yes or no. But you couldn't say yes or no just like this. What if I walked in here today with a gift wrap package? And I said, I want to show my appreciation for being able to have connection with such great guys as you. I want to give you a present. Would anybody here raise their hand and say, what is it? No, that's not what you do. Right? You take it, and when my back was turned, you'd look fast to see what's inside. Right? Give a bar mitzvah bacher a present. He doesn't open it in front of you. Right? Takes it graciously, and when you're not looking, he looks in fast to see what it is. Why? Why did he ask, hey, what is it? Because what difference make what it is? It's a present. Whatever it is. Can't be worse than he started off. It's a present. Sometimes presents aren't what they look like. I remember in the garbage strike in New York, one year there was a garbage collector made a strike. So people used to gift wrap their garbage, leave it in the back of their car, and inevitably it was stolen. So sometimes presents are not what they appear to be. But what do you care? Right? It's a present. Take it. That's exactly what happened here. When God offered the Torah to the nations of the world, and he asked them, do you want the Torah? Their reaction was, we're doing you a favor. You want something from us. Right? You want us to commit ourselves to something for your sake. We don't know if we can or not. What's in it? As soon as they asked what's in it, there's nothing more to talk about. If you think I want something from you, you think I'm laying a liability on you, I'm giving you something because I want something from you, then there's nothing to talk about. But he gave them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they just asked what's in it for curiosity's sake. So he told them something difficult. And he said, well, we don't know if you can do that favor because we have a problem with that. God said, you think you're doing me favors? There's nothing to talk about. The only response that appreciated what the Torah was, that it's a benefit, it's an opportunity, it's not a liability, is what Klal Yisrael said. Give it! Right? You want to give us a present? Kazutra, hey, we don't care what it is. Whatever it is, give it. We'll find out later what it is. But we understand that it's a benefit, it's an opportunity. Yeah, it's probably going to cause a lot of effort, and it's probably going to demand a tremendous amount of commitment, but it's for our good in the end. So give it. It's a present. You want to give us a present? Give it. There's a joke, they say, that when God offered the Torah to the nations of the world, they asked what's in it. God told them they had problems, didn't get it. When he offered it to the Jewish people, they asked, how much does it cost? And Moshe said, it's free. He said, free will take two. So it's not so far from the truth. We understood the Rebbeinu was giving us something. Give it. Why do we care what it says? We'll find out later. But it's a present. Give. The nations of the world were concerned that they have to know if they can do God the favor. They have to know what's in it. When you think you're getting a liability, you have to know what's in it. When you think you're getting a present, you take it no matter what's in it. Also explains another thing. It says that when the Torah was given, so it was so overwhelming that the people died out of fright, out of pure emotion. And God had to revive them. Mamashim. To resurrect them. Always bothered me. God doesn't like to do miracles for no purpose. Wouldn't it have been better to give them the power not to die than to make them die and then resurrect them? God knew this was going to be overwhelming. So instead of letting them die and then having to resurrect them, wouldn't it be better just to give them the power not to die? I'm giving you the Torah and I'm giving you the power not to die. Why'd have to die and then be brought back to life? So the Chazal say, what is it that brought them back to life? The Tau Shel Tchias HaMeisim. He brought down the dew that resurrects the dead. What is Tau Shel Tchias HaMeisim? The Gemara says in another place what it is. Kol Mishi Yesh Bo Or Torah Mechayed. It's the Torah itself that is eternal life. The Torah gives you eternal life. And the Gemara brings a pasuk. Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nafesh. Torah is perfect, it returns your soul. Meaning that that is the essence of eternal life. The Chaye Olam Nota Visochenu. The Rabban Hashem planted eternal life amongst us. That's the bracha we make on the Torah. Baruch Atah Hashem, no sin at Torah. Where did he plant eternal life amongst us? The Torah is eternal life. It's Chayim Nilam Achzikim Bar. The Torah is a tree of life. And when you learn Torah, that gives you eternal life. That is it. That's it. That is eternal life. So you're like charging your battery, and then your neshama has a chance to be eternal. The more Torah you learn, the more eternal, the more qualitatively eternal your neshama is. What did God want to tell us? He wanted to tell us the following. It's true. Torah can demand mesiras nefesh. You're going to have to sometimes die for the Torah. You're going to have to kill yourself for the Torah. You're going to have to put effort, and you're going to have to sacrifice. And it's true. Torah demands a tremendous amount of effort, like we said. In B'chukosai Teilechu Sheyu Ameilim Batorah. But don't ever think that the effort is something you're giving. Because what the Torah gives you back so much outweighs what you gave and overshadows that sum total, you're the ones who are gaining. You didn't give anything. And therefore, that same Torah that you gave up your lives, you died for, the Torah gives you back eternal life. You gave up temporal life, the Torah gives you back eternal life. Did you give anything? It's like a person, he buys a lottery ticket for $1,000. That's how much it costs. A lottery ticket costs $1,000, but you win $10 million. Okay? And there's only one ticket. One ticket. You have to really put in a lot of effort to get that $1,000 to buy the ticket. But if you buy it, you're guaranteed to win $10 million because there's no other ticket. Okay, they're only drawing one ticket. You buy it, you win. Is anybody can complain about all the effort and toil and bother and great sacrifice of having to get the $1,000? As soon as you get your $10 million, right, there's nothing, what's the $1,000 now? And all the effort you put in compared to the $10 million that you got. It's so overshadowed, it's butlum of utl, it's totally negated. Same thing. Yeah, Torah is going to demand tremendous sacrifice. And sometimes you have to give up your life for it. But what you get back so overshadows what you gave that's not considered a sacrifice at all. That's what the Rebbe Shimon wanted us to know. You're going to have to give up your life for Torah. But you get back eternal life. What are you losing? That's the idea. It's not as much as it looks like it's a liability and a sacrifice. That's how much it's not. It's a benefit and an opportunity. In fact, the Shev Shmaisa says, that's the meaning in Chazal, in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah says, "Kol haomer ein Torah min hashamayim." A person who says Torah doesn't come, ein tchias hameisim min haTorah. Excuse me, ein tchias hameisim min haTorah. That tchias hameisim, the way Rashi learns, is has no source in the Torah. Is ein lo chelak lo maboy. It doesn't have a share in the world to come. So yes, I mean, nice if you believe in tchias hameisim, you just don't believe it has a source in the Torah. But it's like in the oral Torah. What's the problem? So he says a different pshat. He says, what does it mean, a person who says, Ein Tchias HaMeisim Min HaTorah? If a person says that the resurrection of the dead doesn't come from Torah, it comes from other things. Other things cause the resurrection of the dead. But not that Torah is synonymous with eternal life, then you lose your share in the world to come. Because you don't understand what Torah is before. Torah is eternal life. And it could be that's the idea. It says that they didn't make a bracha. You know when Eretz Yisrael was destroyed, we went to Galus, Shlo Berchu BaTorah Tchila. So, some say it means they didn't make a bracha before they learned Torah. But then it should say, Shalom Berchu BaTorah Lifoneho. Before learning, they didn't make a bracha. I'll say a different idea. And Rashi says it hints to this idea. There's two brachas we make before we learn Torah. Asher Kiddushon Mitzvah Tivanu La'asok V'divrei Torah. God commanded us to busy ourselves, to toil in Torah. And there's a second bracha. Asher Bo Charbon Mikol Amim, God chose us from all the nations. The Nosamani gave us the Torah. You make a bracha on something you consider a present, something that you consider a benefit. The Jewish people understood that ultimately, by having the Torah, they were separated from the nations of the world, and they were given a chance to have share in the world to come. Right? Fine, for that we make a bracha.
But the original, the first bracha, Shalom Berchu Batorah Tchila, they didn't make the first bracha, Lasov B'divrei Torah. Why not? Because he said, that's not a benefit. The Torah is a liability. But from that liability, good things come. So we'll make a bracha on the benefit, we're not going to make a bracha on the liability, on all the effort. That was a mistake. The effort itself that you put into Torah is the benefit. Because that's what gives you eternal life. That is eternal life. There's nothing else. You're not given a reward. You create eternal life by learning Torah. So the fact that the Rabbanu Shem gave us the Torah and he commanded us lasso to busy ourselves and to toil in it and to put effort in it, that in itself deserves a bracha. Because if you realize it's a present, then even the effort you put in is a part of the present. Because that's necessary. You can't get it any other way. Could be for that reason on Shavuos, a few different things converge in the customs of Shavuos to point out this idea. Shavuos, we celebrate the giving of the Torah and the understanding the Torah is a present. So therefore, Shavuos coincides with the day we start bringing Bikurim. Bikurim are the first fruits. The first fruits are an expression of Hakara Satov, of recognizing the good, of gratitude to God physically, for physical sustenance, physical fruits. It coincides with Shavuos because Shavuos was supposed to be thankful to God for our spiritual sustenance, for eternal sustenance, which is the Torah. Torah is like Bikurim. So from the physical gratitude, we're able to learn the spiritual gratitude. Another thing of Shavuos is Akdamas. Akdamas, before you, what's it called, before you read the Torah, you have a whole prologue, a nice poem that was written as an introduction to the whole idea of Torah. And in there it has this whole idea that Torah demands the what's it called, the self-sacrifice, and even giving up your life, and the nations of the world offer us all the good things in the world, we'll just join them and give away the Torah. And we say, no, the Torah for us is a benefit. We're not going to give up that benefit. Nothing you can give us could ever outweigh the benefit we get from the Torah. So that's also part of Shavuos. Rus also shows this. Rus was an intelligent young woman. She only had to keep 7 mitzvahs as a goyim. Why did she want 613? If the Torah is a liability, then you have to be out of your mind to want to convert. Right? Why do you want 606 more liabilities? Be happy with the 7 that you got. And we don't accept converts who are crazy. But if the Torah is a benefit, it's a present, then it makes sense to convert. I want that. True, God didn't give me that benefit, but I want it. So I'm willing to accept that yoke, that effort, because I know that the benefit outweighs any effort that's there. The Torah ultimately is a benefit. That's Rus. Now let's go back to the Shavuot. Imagine you have a wedding that's called for the 6th day of Adar. And everything is prepared for the 6th day of Adar. Okay, you have Chasan and Kala know that that's their wedding day. They've been counting towards that day for months. You have the caterer, the hall, the photographer, the flowers, the band. Everybody is contracted for the 6th day of Adar. Let's see what happened when the Torah was given. The Tosfos asks, how could the Torah have been given on the 7th day of the Sivan? When the Torah, when the world was created, hints to the fact that it was going to be given on the 6th day of Sivan. Yom HaShishi. Why does it say HaShishi? Because it means not just Friday. It refers to another 6th day, the 6th day of Sivan. That the whole world was created on condition that the Jewish people will accept the Torah on the 6th day of Sivan in the future. Because if they don't, the whole world goes back to Tohu Vavohu, to nothing. That means when God created the world, what day did he single out as the giving of the Torah? The 6th day of Sivan. So how could Rabbi Yossi say the Torah was given on the 7th day of Sivan if when creation, it mentions the 6th day of Sivan? Says Tosfos, yeah, the Torah was supposed to be given on the 6th day of Sivan. But Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu added one extra day of preparation for the Jewish people. And because of that, it was pushed off to the 7th day. Okay? So the Torah was supposed to be given according to everybody on the 6th day. According to Rav Yossi, it wasn't actually given to the seventh day because Moshe added an extra day. Now, let's see what that means. That means that the day of the giving of the Torah was pushed off one extra day. Why? Let's take this wedding again, the sixth day of Adar. Everything is said. The day before the wedding, on the fifth day of Adar, an uncle from New York calls. The wedding's going to be here in Yerushalayim. An uncle from New York calls and says, I just missed my plane. I'm not going to make it there for the wedding tomorrow. Could you push the wedding off one day for me? What would you tell the uncle? How do you really mind? The caterer, the band, the flowers, the what's it called, the hall. Everything is set for tomorrow. We can't just push it off another day. You can't just now reorganize a whole wedding in one day. We're sorry you can't come, right? But send your present and we'll make up for it. So how in the world, Moshe Rabbeinu sees the Jewish people aren't ready for the giving of the Torah and he pushes it off. God made this date from the beginning of creation. I'm going to give the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan a few thousand years from now. Now, he said he got the caterer, the band. Everything was set for the sixth day of Sivan. All the angels, everybody knew, everybody got their invitations. The Jewish people aren't ready, right? We're pushing it off. What kind of ridiculous thing is that? The answer is, my marshal wasn't a good marshal. What would be in this case? The day before the wedding, the Kala calls up. And she said, I just missed my plane. I'm not going to make it tomorrow for the wedding. Do you think you could push it off a day? I'm sorry, caterer, the band, the flowers, you know. You're here, if not here, we go on without you. You go on without me, I'm the wedding. You have no choice, you push off the wedding a day. Klal Yisrael with a Kala. We weren't just an uncle from New York. We're the Kala. And if the Kala's not ready, it's all for her sake. If the Torah's a liability, and God said, look, I'll give you 49 days to prepare for this liability, and we're not ready, then God says, I'm giving it to you anyway, whether you're ready or not. You're going to get the liability, and you won't be able to handle it, and too bad for you. This is a liability to you. This is a yoke. And if you don't like it, it's too bad. And you're not ready, it's too bad. But if it's for your sake, if God wants to give you a present, he wants to give you an opportunity, and you're not ready, then it's not an opportunity anymore. So of course he'll push it off. The Kala is not ready. It's all, everything here is for her sake. We're not going to force her to get married, what's it called, on a day that she can't be there. So push it off. The whole idea of pushing off Matan Torah to the seventh day, and the Torah wasn't given till the seventh day, shows that the Torah is for the sake of the Jewish people. Otherwise, God wouldn't have pushed it off. He wouldn't agree. Therefore, on the sixth day, we didn't actually get the Torah. But we don't say Zman Kabbalas Torah Sein. We don't say the day we received the Torah. We say Zman Matan Torah Sein. It's the time the Torah was given as a gift. When did we know the Torah was a gift? On the sixth day when we didn't get it. When God agreed to push it off to the next day. Why? Because we weren't ready. It only makes sense if the Torah is a present. It doesn't make sense if the Torah is a liability. So we say on the sixth day, it's Zman Matan Torah Seinu. It's the day we understood the Torah is a present. And that was not abrogated on the 17th day of Sivan when Moshe broke the Luchos. Just the opposite. That lesson was strengthened that day. Because again, think about it. If the Torah is a liability, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain with these two tablets of liabilities for us, and he sees that we're bad boys, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. What does he say? Okay, you're not getting these liabilities because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Doesn't make any sense? No, you know what? 4 Luchos. 8 Luchos. Right? Not 10 commandments, 20 commandments, because you're not good. I'm going to lay more liability on you. It doesn't make sense to take away the liability. But if the Torah is an opportunity, it's a present, then it makes sense. You're not getting this present. The present was on condition that you do what you're supposed to do. You're not doing what you're supposed to do, you don't get it. The breaking of the Luchos only made sense if the Torah is a present. So when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos on Shivasra B'Tammuz, it didn't abrogate the lesson we learned on the sixth day of Sivan. It abrogated the giving of the Torah on the seventh day of Sivan. But it didn't abrogate the lesson we learned on the sixth day of Sivan that the Torah wasn't given on that day. It was pushed off to the next day because it's a present. It's an opportunity. That was strengthened when the Luchos were broken. And therefore, that had no effect on celebrating. So we bedafka celebrate on the sixth day of Sivan. We don't celebrate the giving of the Torah, the receiving of the Torah, because we didn't receive the Torah really till Yom Kippur. But we celebrate the day that God gave us the Torah, meaning he showed it's a present. He's giving us an opportunity. He's not taking anything from us. That's what we celebrate. And that wasn't affected at all, not by the Shmiras Haluchos, it's the opposite. It was strengthened by that.
That's the lesson. That's what we say, Zman Matan Torah Seinu.
Receiving the Torah, we receive the Torah every day.
But the fact that we learn that the Torah is a gift, that's what we learned on the sixth day of Siva, that's what Shavuos is all about.